Refreshed players, and welcome
to a very special episode of the Dominion League Weekly Podcast.
Indeed, indeed. I am your host, Strumpf, and I have a very special co-host with me today. Do you want to introduce yourself to the world?
I'm not sure I know how to do that.
That is true. Well, I've been trying to come up with like the most outlandish pronunciation of your name. I am here with Shay Rar, who I have been doing a lot of commentary with as well.
Indeed.
As we did earlier today. And this is the episode for August 4th, 2024. And it's the first week of the season. So not too much has happened, but we are still going to talk about it. Starting as usual in a division.
Yeah, so we have actually commentated both of the matches so far in the A division. both of which featured Tracer. In the first one, Eureka Mome beat Tracer 4-2, and then Tracer and Akuchi tied in the second one.
Yeah, and since we commented those matches, they are like a little like clearer in my mind, and they were just excellent displays of Dominion, as you would expect in A division, but it was truly mind-blowing to me. Like, I'm like a mid-level player, obviously, but yeah, it was just amazing.
Yeah, it was definitely, there were definitely some great games, and there was also a game that ended turn three with Gamble Souk.
Yes, true. Yeah, so Eureka Mome is the defending league champion and is, well, after one match in the lead of the division. Mm-hmm. And then in B tier, B1, nothing as of yet. Please start playing your games. And then B2... Do you wanna talk about B2?
Sure. So, I happen to know somebody who's in B2, and
you got the inside.
I do. Inside scoop. Yeah. So, currently leading B2 is Furkoll with a 3-3 against Visunar, and then a 6-0 against Zamsraft, which is no mean feat because Zamsraft is a good player. Like, that was. Yeah. I did not see that one coming. And then rounding things out, the player that I happen to have a little bit of information about went 4-2.
A little bit of overlap with.
Yeah, a little bit of overlap
physical
with.
Physical overlap with.
Yeah, a little bit. We telefragged. Went 4-2 against Count Mosula.
In his first B match ever.
That's right.
So.
After only 42 seasons spent in
C, D, and
tiers
E.
Below, yeah. Tiers below B.
Yeah. Yes. Congratulations to that friend of yours.
He thanks you, I'm sure.
Yeah. So Furkoll in the lead for now. And then in C tier, we have Swordfish, Trombone in the lead of C1 currently after a win against Makos, and very close behind Mikael-san. Like I said, it's the first week, so a lot is going to still happen.
Yeah, and then in C2, we have a three-way tie with Salt Rosa, having tied matches with both Naesala and Knave the Muser. Knave, of course, being the world record holder in the Dominion card-shaped objects naming speedrun.
Yes, yeah. So a very, very important part of the Dominion card memorization community.
Right.
Shout outs
to Knave.
and you, were you in the same division as Naesala last season? Oh, no. You played Naesala a bunch for the Karn Guilds.
We'll get back to that later.
Yes. Okay. All right. And that's pretty much all for C tier right now, because neither C3 nor C4 no one has played any matches so far.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to D tier, where in D1, Diplomat and Eichel have tied their first match. Eichel played a very strong season in E last season. So, yeah, excited to see. Oh, and then Hadaric obviously like won the best division last season. So, yeah, excited to see what's going to happen with them.
Yeah, and then in D2, Scumpy off to a very strong start with 2-5-1 results, one against a Moffat 11 and one against Kotetsu 5-1-0-2 high.
Yeah.
Hello.
Exactly. And then we have Birds of Siberia and Ultimate Geek tie the one and only match so far in D3. And in D4, Chestic is currently in first position after one match ahead of the X-Strategist.
So moving on to E tier, there have been no matches played in E1 or E2. But in E3, Viking 39 leads with a 5-1 victory ahead of Micah 1980s 4-2 in...
You mean Micha 1980?
Not sure if I do or not, to be honest.
Interesting.
I don't know. I don't know where they're from or how their name is likely to be pronounced.
Yeah. Shout out to the Viking who was in my... I think the Viking is the person I played against the most in all of League, I think.
Oh, really?
I think so, yeah.
We could check that.
What?
Yeah.
No way.
Let's do it.
You could just click on the Viking, you know?
Well, that will tell us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I see.
All right.
Oh, it's not true. I'm spreading lies.
Fake news.
Yeah, news.
Your most played opponents are Tortuga and Paisteo.
Paisteo, yeah. Shout out to Tortuga.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, back to life. Back to reality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no matches in E4. In E5, TG Tuft has won their first match against Mugivi. And then Mom of Five is in the lead of E6 after two matches. Mom of Five promoted last season. She overcame, I'm assuming she overcame...
Seems a reasonable assumption.
Yeah. overcame a clean sweep and like still promoted.
Oh, so lost an 0-6.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's tough.
That was very impressive.
Yeah.
And to finish that, an E7, Ian 7 Grand and Estraw Cab.
AKA backwards.
Oh! Oh, I never... Oh, okay, I see.
That, I don't know.
I never saw that.
I don't know if they prefer to be referred to as backwards, or if they prefer to S draw cab, but I like backwards personally.
It's so good to have, like, another person here who's maybe not, like, who's maybe an English native speaker. Yeah, so they tied, and that was the first and only match in that division. Yeah.
E7, yep.
So that's a very... very normal state of affairs, I would say, after the first week of League. Results come in. I have to get my phone.
Okay. I mean, I could also look it up from here, but I guess that's fine.
I don't know. Like, most, you just want to, like, scroll through all of the results. Oh, you already took comments. Notes on it?
Okay.
No, I just took screenshots.
Well, that counts.
That was one. Yeah, I don't think I shouted that. That was like from last season, but it was very impressive. Hold because
on. You might want to like actually introduce the results comment section. We didn't really do that.
Okay, we are currently in the results comments shout out section. You're right.
Because I'm assuming we're going to trim some of that nonsense out.
What? No.
Oh, okay. My bad.
There's not going to be any editing.
I see. Okay, fair enough.
Okay. We should do like the air horn or whatever. It's like, bow, 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 bow. Or that. Okay. Okay, so this is still from last season, as probably most of them. But anyway, so there was a match comment In season 64, K4, Witz played 4-2, 1-4-2 against Viraxi and said, crazy fast match, 6 games in a half hour, all close.
Oh, I remember, I actually remember us talking about this in like one of the League Mod chats. We're like, how is this possible?
Yeah. Is this legal?
Well, I mean, I don't think there were any resignations. Like, it was just that fast. And there was one game that was like 2 or 3 minutes. I was like, what?
Yeah. Wild. Do you know if it was base?
I assume so.
Hmm. By the way, we didn't even talk about, I should have brought that up, but like, this is season 65. We're in season 65, which is, I feel like the round season and the five seasons, like the Fiver seasons, they just always struck me as special.
Hmm.
Strike me as special.
Season 65.
Yeah. Just, it's been, League has been around a while.
It has. And what's weird to me about this is that every time, like, you know, people talk about, like, oh, it's been like this long or whatever. Like, I felt like when I joined the league had been around a long time, but it had only been around, you know, 20 something seasons. I think I joined in 23 because I, yeah. But so it felt to me like it had been around for quite some time and it had gone through like several changes and stuff like that. Like, just from what I was able to gather sort of indirectly from hearing people talk about it. But now, like, I've been playing twice as long as it had been around when I joined, and I have been modding as long, basically, roughly.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's like, it doesn't feel like that long, but... But it was, apparently.
Oh, for sure. So, just wanted to highlight, we have reached another...
Milestone. Yeah.
So, congratulations, and thank you to the League Mod team for running the league.
You're welcome.
Okay, so then there was a match result, and I'm always like, I take screenshots, so I always want to look at, when was this? Oh, it was today at 1:19 a.m. Which I think this was also still season 64, but it matters not. That was a match result from then G1 division, where Math Raccoon 51 tied Keiki, and the result is Salty Earth is weird. To which I will say, you are weird. The only appropriate response. No, I mean, I do believe. I sometimes...
There's at least one other appropriate response, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Your face is weird. That's the other appropriate response.
You say to Math Raccoon 51, who's a raccoon.
Well, I mean...
Then one of, I would say, the most entertaining players ever... They played in F2 last season, Redly, won 4-5-1-5 against G. Goyes, or... and said, what even is Tiara, a sack of loot, though?
Way to gain 2 loots per turn and top deck them, I suppose, if you want to.
There you go. Okay.
I'm helping.
You are. Then... Oh, yeah, I love these types of comments, too. And it's good to have you on here, so, to respond to it. So, last season, Division H8, Trinexapuck played 2-5-3-5 against Nick Z. And they said, not sure of the result, we both forgot. Which I think is, like, is actually, like, what the comments are for, right? Where you can, like, communicate stuff to your moderator.
It's one of the purposes, for sure. Although...
So, I love it. But I'm also, like, how do you... Why do you... Well, okay. So, first of all, there's Dumbbot, right? Dumbbot can help you.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it really happens very rarely to... With me, that I forget.
Yeah. Me too. And I'm, of course, I'm tracking it, like, in OBS.
Yeah.
But I understand, like, if you're playing... Like, in a, like, more, like, casual mindset, like, or more, like, relaxed mindset, like, as opposed to competitive mindset, and you're just sort of playing the games, I can understand. Although, I would think at that point you're at risk of also forgetting how many games you've played.
True, yeah, for sure.
The other thing I will say about results comments, since you said communicating stuff to your moderator, that is true. However, if you have complaints, or like, especially if you want to make comments about the other player that aren't nice, do not put those in the results comments. That is not what they're for. Yeah. DM your mod or use the league hotline or something. Do not,
yes,
do not complain about your opponent in the results comments.
Yes.
It will get deleted, for one thing.
Yeah, and you will get, like, I'm sure that people will be like, oh, this player.
Yeah.
They might keep tabs on you.
Yes. Tabs will be kept.
I love the comments, and I would encourage everyone who listens to this and plays League to put in fun comments, and I will read them on here. And, I love this one. I think this might actually be from this. Yeah, July 30th. Yes. So this is actually from this League season 65, where Garden Cat 1-3-5-2-5 against JMCG and H in H7 and said, "Good games, time for bed, LOL." That was very cute. I'm assuming you didn't screenshot any.
I did not. I'm sorry. Liked. I'm bringing nothing to the table here.
Is it like, do you screen like all the results, or do you?
It's, well, they pop up in the division channels. So if somebody puts something they should not put, then we will see it by virtue of like monitoring our division channels.
Okay.
I certainly do not read every results comment in that channel.
Sounds like you're a bad moderator to me.
I think it would be fair to say I'm a bad podcaster, but I don't think that makes me a bad moderator.
Well, the jury is still out on that.
I suppose. Yes, it's certainly possible that I'm a bad moderator for other reasons.
Okay. Well, do you want to go into this?
No, but if you have any feedback for me as a moderator, feel free to reach out to me at on Discord.
Or to me, at Stumpf.
Oh, shit, I said my name.
I was going to say!
Everyone.
I think the world is imploding right now.
Oh no.
Uh-oh.
Oh no.
I'm gonna bleep it on the podcast.
At beep on Discord. That will be very helpful to people who are trying to reach me.
That's why I said they have to reach me.
No, that's true.
Okay. So some unfinished business from last season. We already had, I think, two of our tier champs, but now we have all of them. So, as you know, as we already announced last episode, our B champion of season 64 is Akuchi. And then Celt Rosa is our D champion. Alex Kanga is our E champion. Two Duffman is our F champion. Always Just in Time is our G champion. Juke is our H champion. And Bud Fox is our I champion. Those are our tier champions of season 64.
Yes, congratulations to all of these players. I want to shout out a couple of them. We commentated the I tier championships.
Oh, that's true.
Between Bud Fox and, can I remember the full username of their opponent? I don't think I can. It was something kind of long.
It was also with a B, I think.
Bell Cavendish, New York. and Bell Cavendish, NY. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was actually really impressed with Bud Fox, like the level of play that they showed for somebody coming up from I to H tier. I mean, I don't have a great sense in general of like how strong, you know, G versus H versus I versus J, you know, sort of thing is in general. But when I have commentated like occasionally matches and that like kind of tier range, I feel like I haven't generally seen players play to the level that I thought Bud Fox did, like at that like tier level. So like, I mean, obviously, they won their division, they're promoting, so, like, you already kind of expect good things from them, but that was impressive.
Yeah.
So, shout-outs to them for that. And then, of course, shout-outs to favorite mod, Salt Rosa, who has really come up a long way in League over time. Like, I don't remember where she entered exactly, but it was at least as low as F. And she spent, like, quite a bit of time, like, around E or so. But this is not even her first time in C this season, I don't think. I think she's already been in C before. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, she's, like, she's putting in work, moving on up. And, yeah, just good job. I mean, obviously, all the players have done a good job to win their division and win tier champs. But these are two that I know a little bit more about, so...
Yeah, shout out also, like, special shout out to Alex Kanga. That was the second tier champs finale that we commented. They played against the Xtrategist.
Yeah.
And that was a very tense match, too, where Alex Kanga went up 2-0, and then Xtrategist won the three next games, and then Alex Kanga came back, so kept their cool and took it away in the end. So that was also pretty cool to watch.
Yeah, that was a good, fun match, and both players played very well in it, and a lot of close competitive games.
Yeah. All right, congratulations to all of our tier champs. And that leads us to other tournaments, and I believe that you wanted to talk about
Izuna. Well, I mean, I've already mentioned this, like, in Discord, and it feels like maybe a little bit mean to keep harping on it. Like, I don't know. I hope it doesn't come across as me, like, you know, saying anything bad about Naisala, who I think is a good player, a very good player. But yeah, my run through the Corn Guilds mix was I started out like with a 4-0 win in the group stage against Naisala, and then I went 3-9 across my other two other three matches, and so entered the like middle bracket as one of the lower seeds.
Yeah,
and then
we were there together. My first match in that bracket was against Naisala.
Yeah, right. And Naisala actually finished with a better record in the group stage than I did, so came in as one of the higher seeds. And then Naisala and I met in the finals for the middle bracket, and I won like 4-1 or something. I don't remember exactly, but it was something like that. It was like where I think I had like...
There's no way for us to find out.
No, that's true. So it was just like a weird thing where Naisala like had an amazing run through the tournament against everybody except me. And then like I mean, I did manage to make it to the finals in the intermediate stage, but like my total record against a non-Naisala player is just like pretty not great. It was just a very strange thing.
Mm-hmm.
And also now I played
3-1.
3-1. Okay. Yeah. And then, oh, that's right. Because the finals, only the top bracket finals were first of 3.5.
Which I didn't agree with, but it's okay.
So as a result, I was awarded renown for winning the middle bracket. Which,
congrats.
So yeah, I really appreciate all of the effort that everyone has put into realizing that for me on the Discord, all the conversations in so many different channels about where people talking about how impressed they are that I won the middle bracket for Corn Guilds mix.
The upper consolation bracket.
That's right. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, that, and I think it's good that like a lot of people approached you and were like, you're so renowned.
So renowned now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, Breppert just got like a coronet. Like, I mean, you know,
yeah,
for winning nothing. The top bracket, that's like really not impressive at all compared to being renowned.
No, and I think Breppert is probably like not feeling very well.
Yeah,
very good about this.
That's probably right. Yeah.
Yeah, and is never gonna play like any other tournament ever again.
Favorite mod Breppert, we should say.
How did you like the tournament?
I mean, I generally enjoy the mixed tournaments. As mixed tournaments go, I would not say that it stuck out in either a positive or a negative direction for me, which is good. Like, there's been a couple of mixed tournaments that I thought, like, I don't really like this. Nocturne mix, I did not like Nocturne mix in particular.
I mean, I wasn't there, but Nocturne, hello?
It was so many hexes.
Best expansion.
What?
Yeah.
No. But anyway,
I would say stop the podcast now.
Like, a lot of the mixed tournaments are enjoyable because you get like kind of a concentrated dose of certain types of interactions, and usually those interactions are interesting and fun to play with. And, you know, I mean, that applied to this one as well. It didn't stand out to me as like the most fun of the mixed tournaments, although I'd have to go back through and see what I think was like, but it was, you know, basically most of the mixed tournaments for me have been fun to play in, and this one was not an exception.
So. Yeah. Yeah, same. I really enjoyed this tournament, and yeah, I love the mixes. I don't always play in like the additional tourneys that run, but like this has reaffirmed my feeling of like I have to play more in the mixed tournaments just because they are generally very enjoyable. Donald X seems to understand the game that he created somehow. Which is very confusing.
Yeah.
But yeah, puts together like excellent card lists and
I even had the joy of winning not one but two different games in this mix where I ignored knights.
Oh, that's right.
Which are on my ban list.
Knights are not real and knights aren't real and
they can't hurt me. That's right. But yeah, I think I've played in every mixed tournament. I think if I haven't, there's maybe like one that I haven't played in, but I'm pretty sure I've played in every one. So those are
every one that was hosted since you started playing.
Well,
Donald
Ducks only started putting them together more recently than that.
Oh, okay, I didn't know.
Yeah, as far as side tournaments go, for me, it's pretty much like, well, I don't know if I would count like DOC or the World Cup as like side tournaments, but it's like, you know, there's League, DOC, and World Cup, and then there's like the mixed tournaments that I will play in, and then like release tournaments. So like, I'm sure there's going to be a Rising Sun release tournament, and I'll play in that. But like, that's most of what I will participate in. Like, there was some other stuff that I participated in like ages ago at this point, but
isn't that also like a mixed thing? The release.
It functions kind of similarly. The different release tournaments have had different structures, but they function kind of similar in that obviously they focus on certain cards, but they include the entire card pool. It's not just like the curated set. It's like usually it's something like, you know, you either force a certain number of cards from, you know, the expansion, or you force a certain number of slots, but like you increase the number of slots as you go through like the match, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's sometimes maybe I'm not sure if any of them have just turned on like the extra whatever button, but maybe some of them have.
Have you played in crew battles?
Once. I didn't really get a lot of out of that. I think from an organizational standpoint, it kind of fell apart quickly. Mm. I mean, the World Cup is basically a crew battle. It has a different structure, but it's still a team format.
It is a team format, but it's not. I feel like crew battle to me is mostly about like heckling, and there's like little heckling in the World Cup, I would say, from my limited experience of the World Cup.
Well, I mean, to me, the structure of the crew battles, or sorry, the structure of the World Cup is more like what I consider a crew battle, like mechanically, because.
Okay.
In the Dominion crew battles, usually it's just like people just like decide to play each other and play, and then they have like some like live system. The crew battles I'm used to are from Smash, where you have like a roster of players and you go through the roster and you pair off, kind of. Except with Smash, there's like rollover to it and it's more complicated. But with Dominion, you just pair off, but that's like more similar to the Smash system, which is, like I said, what I'm used to when I think of crew battles. Yeah. I don't actually know where the term comes from, or like, I assume that like other fighting games do it, but I don't know if it comes from something beyond that, or if that's where it originated.
Yeah. Well, do you want to talk about your personal weekend games?
Well, my personal weekend games was just my first match of the season, and so my first match ever in B, which I won 4-2, which was pretty nice, because I definitely came in expecting not to lose like that particular match, but like to probably just lose in Tomo from B. So getting off to a good start, I mean, not only does it just like, it, you know, it feels good to win a match, but it also is like, hey, like now I'm less likely to demote. That's cool too.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Have you played anyone in your season before?
Yes. So let's see. The Sunar, I think I've only played in a side tournament. Furkoll, I've played ages ago. My most of what I associate Furkoll with is playing Werewolf, like on the, you know, in the other games thing in the Discord, but I know I have played them before. Zomsraft, I played just a couple seasons ago. They've been on, like, they were on, like, a fast rise. And they, let's see. They, yeah, they were in my division 3 seasons ago when I demoted from C. And they were in second place. And then they won their C division the next season to get to B. So, and then held on strong in B last season. So, yeah, they've been, like, they've been really strong. They came in, looks like they came in E back in season 58, but have moved up quickly. So one of the, you know, like a lot of times, like you kind of got to be scared of the new players who debut relatively high because it's like, well, the only reason they're not even higher is because of, you know, how the structure works. And then Brian, I feel like I must have played Brian at some point in C because Brian has spent a good amount of time in C as well as in B, but I don't specifically remember doing it. Brian's been playing for a long time. Let's see. Yeah, they've played almost the same number of seasons that I have. And in, oh yeah, they beat me 5-1 at some point in season 60, but that was recent. I didn't remember it being that recent. Dang. But yep, there it is. Huh. Well, okay then. I'll have to do better this time. Yeah, other than that, 2 weeks ago, I recorded some ladder games for the first time in like 11 months.
Mm-hmm. So how did that go?
DOC, here we come. I lost one game and my rating went down. I played for like, I played like four or five games, and played for like, I was like, this time I'm not going to play for like 5 hours. I'm going to play for like an hour. And then I got to that hour and I had lost the last game. And I was like, I have to play another game. And then I won. I was like, okay, now I can stop.
Is that what usually happens? You start playing and then you play for 5 hours?
When I record? Yeah. Not 5 hours necessarily, but like I would say all of the videos that I've recorded have been like in the probably like the 3.5 to 5 hour range because I just like play and play and play. And I was like, I should really not do that. I should just play for like a more constrained amount of time.
Like, restrain yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I feel like the two of us touched briefly, which didn't feel right at the time, like 2 seasons ago when I reached my zenith, I would say.
Your apex, yeah.
My apex so far in League, which was when I was in D and you were in D, and that kind of like just showed how ridiculous like the tier system is. But like since then we have moved symmetrically, which means that
it's true. Symmetrically around the D axis.
Yes. So you have promoted 2 times in a row and I have demoted 2 times in a row and you have played and lost like your play-in for the promo and I have played and lost my play-in for demotion, not avoiding. Demoting. Yeah. And
but then I got promoted anyway because the world is a strange place.
Yeah. So yeah, obviously like I struggled a little bit with that and like especially like, that play-in was annoying because I gave away like a 3-1 position and now I'm back in F and I had a pretty good start so far to my season. So obviously like I am hoping to promote again and that does not seem unlikely, especially because it's a double promotion tier. And yeah, so hopefully I will make it, and hopefully I can play in tier champs.
Yes.
Too. That would be fun.
Well, and let's be more specific. You won your first match of the season 5-1 against favorite mod Ruapati.
Yeah, that's correct. But then, like, half of my season is still on vacation, so let's see. I think I'm playing, like, another match on Thursday, but we'll see. Mm. Yeah, and then for Coven, I played a match against NPMT 20BFACG.
Never pay more than $20.
$20.
$20 for a computer game.
Yes. And that was great because, yeah, she has only started playing League very recently. She's a very strong player.
Also on the come up for sure.
Yeah. And so it was like, that was the first time that I played against her, and obviously like the only kind of tournament, I guess, like where I would play against her because it's not going to happen in League. So yeah, that was also like very cool and educational, and I managed to win one game, which I'm very proud of.
Yes.
yeah, so that was my personal week in games.
Yeah, we also commentated NPMT in tier champs last season. Yes. not for the season 64, but for season 63.
Yes,
when she was promoting from E to D.
Yes,
and then yeah, she promoted again to C.
Yeah.
This past season. So that's, and I mean, like, that already goes to show.
Yeah, and like super, like she was super close from winning her division. She was just like a half point away, I think.
And yeah, and D is double promo, so got to see.
Yeah, so yeah, very excited. Right, and that leads us to SpecChat, where we talk about any piece of media that we consumed that is non-Dominion related. I can start.
Sure, go ahead.
I am reading a book right now by a German author who wrote two books that I really, really liked. And so I was like... And I had checked out one of her books last year that was also pretty fun. And I was like, oh, cool, there's this other book of hers that I haven't read yet. I'm going to read this now. And I'm kind of disappointed, and it kind of rubs me the wrong way because there's a lot of kind of like sexism in it. And I don't really understand why. And it's just so different from these other books, and it kind of like tarnishes my image that I have of her. It's kind of like a mystery with a twist, and it's kind of funny, right? It's about like the main character is a very neurotic professor at Cambridge or Oxford or like, you know, there. and a student is found dead, and that student had kept a pet parrot, and now the parrot is with this neurotic professor main character. And this is all fine and also fun because the parrot keeps like saying stuff and like keeps singing Bad Romance, which is funny. But there are like so many scenes where this professor is like, oh, there's a female character appears and she has breasts, and I'm like, I don't know, it really like rubs me the wrong way, and I find it like so unnecessary. And like, okay, are you trying to just like make the main character unsympathetic, or I don't really understand the choices that were made. And yeah, I don't know, that kind of, I'm still gonna like, I was thinking about maybe I should stop reading it, but I think I'm gonna read it to the end. But yeah, so the author is Leonie Swann, and the book is called Grey, and she has written a book that's called Glenkill that is definitely among my, I guess, like my favorite German books, contemporary German books, because it's so cute, and there's like a lot, it's just very witty, and the way that she uses language is so fun. And that was one that I was considering choosing for the book club, and now I don't know if I should reconsider, but yeah, a little disappointed. Anyway, what do you want to share?
Well, I was thinking maybe I would just talk about two different things, and then we can cut out whichever one is less interesting.
Or we keep it in.
Or we keep it in. Wow. But then what if the listeners are like, this episode is too long, it's not okay?
Yeah, I'm sure that they will do that, yeah. They'll be like, nope, it has to be 15 minutes!
Type 15.
Yeah.
all right, well, so the first thing I will talk about is a show that we have been watching together, The Mole. So we actually kind of watched this backwards because
I had already watched the first season. I was right. I want to watch this with you because I'm sure you will have fun with it.
Right. So we watched season two together, and now we've gone back and we're going through season one, which you know how that all plays out.
I know who the mole is.
We're only up through like episode 3 or 4 or something.
Yeah.
So for those of you who don't know what this is, it's a Netflix show. It's a reality show, and like many competitive reality shows, it is like a player elimination game. So you have players get eliminated one by one, more or less, until sometime, you know, near the end, and then somebody wins. But the concept is that you have everybody is competing to win a monetary prize that changes over the course of the game based on their actions. They have missions that they go on where they try to increase the amount of money in the prize pot, but there is one player who is a mole, and so they're not really a player. They can't actually win the game, but they try to sabotage the player's efforts and try to reduce the size of the pot. And they also can't be eliminated. And the way that the elimination happens is the players take this quiz periodically, basically at the end of every episode, more or less, where they answer questions about who they think the mole is. And whoever is the farthest from being correct, basically gets the fewest correct answers on this quiz, is the person who gets eliminated. So the way that you advance in the game is to try to have the most accurate picture of, well, not necessarily just the least inaccurate picture of who the mole is. As one of the players says, you don't have to outrun the bear, you just have to outrun the slowest player. But so the thing that I find like kind of weird and kind of frustrating about this game is that the players are incentivized to make the other players think that they are the mole so that those other players will vote, like, will select them on the quiz as the mole instead of whoever the actual mole is. But then the mole, like, doesn't have... There's nothing that the mole, like, is sort of obliged to do in a way that, like, presents a stronger signal than the players trying to misdirect each other. So it seems like, you know, if the players are playing, you know, correctly in some sense, that there's just not really actually any way to tell who the mole is. And it's just like, take your best guess. In practice, like, I think there is, you know, the players are incentivized to make money. And then, like, but then what happens is, like, sometimes they like, do things that where they fail to make money so that they look more like the mole. And what I wish is that, like, the mole's incentive was clearer so that there was be, like, a stronger signal where, like, if there's specifically, like, a lot of money lost or something like that, like, that is, like, actively good for the mole, like, in particular, as opposed to just, like, well, that's, like, their job or something. Like, if they were going to get a payout based on how much money they take away from the pot or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That all being said, it is still interesting to watch people deal with this. It's also, like, interesting to see them, like, work through what are essentially, like, game theory problems without ever talking about game theory.
Yeah. My experience has been, like, we are watching these episodes and I'm like, oh, this is a fun game. And you sit next to me and you're like, well, they should do this and this and this. And this is clearly, so this is the prisoner's dilemma. And this is like this and this is that. And
There was one episode where they literally just had a prisoner's dilemma game where it's like, if you both cooperate, you'll get some money. If one of you defects, you get an exemption, which means you can't be eliminated. And if both of you defect, then you all get nothing. And of course, they both defected and they all got nothing. happening. I mean, spoilers, but like, you knew if you're watching it, you knew it was going to happen anyway. Yes. And like, yeah, it, of course, it was a one-off prisoner's dilemma. Like, of course they both defected. Like, what else are they going to do?
Yeah.
But like, nobody ever talked about it that way. Nobody ever said those words. So.
Yeah, because I'm sure they don't. They didn't think about it, or they didn't know that that was what it was.
Or they edited it out because they don't want to confuse people.
They're like, nerd!
Nerds! Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fun little show.
It's also interesting the contrast between season one and season two, where season two was definitely more cutthroat than season one, which I think reflects the fact that people probably learned from season one that, like, oh, being, like, nice and helpful and whatever isn't actually effective.
Yes, yes. It's always, like, with every reality TV show, it is super interesting to watch the difference between the second and following seasons and the first season. Just because, you know, when it's a new show, then no one really knows the rules and no one really knows, like, what goes. And then
the meta.
You can't really, you can't really come in with a strong strategy. Which has its merits, but I also think it's cool to then, like, see the second season and be like, oh, okay, people learned this and that. People chose, like, these strategies and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I guess what I would like, and maybe this would just be a different show, and, you know, but I would be interested in a situation where it wasn't so much in the player's interests to look like the mole. So the mole had to try to find ways to undermine things where they're not going to get caught. Because, like, it doesn't, from the mole's perspective, it's not clear that it actually matters whether the players know who they are or not. Like, if they figure it out, the main reason it would matter is if they, on the missions, they had some way of being like, okay, since this person is the mole, we're not going to let them, like, participate. We're not going to put them in a position to do anything. But a lot of times you don't even have a choice about that because the missions are structured in a way where, like, everybody has to participate and, like, responsibility is distributed. So, yeah, I would be interested personally in seeing, like, somebody trying to do the sabotage stuff where they really do have to try to be as subtle as possible. Because, like, the person who was the mole in season two, for example, like, did some stuff that was not subtle, but then it's like, oh, that could just be a player who's trying to pretend to be the mole. And, like, but what if they... if they couldn't do that, then, like, what would happen? But I guess, yeah, that might just be a different game.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely fun watching this first season, knowing who the mole is, and then, like, what, like, seeing who you think, like, who you think the mole is, and, like, watching them play the game. And, it's fun.
So...
what's the other thing?
The other thing is, I have this podcast that I'm going through. I haven't finished listening to it yet, but it's this podcast about the history of women's sports with respect in particular to the way in which their gender or their sex, depending on how you, like, look at it, I guess, has been, like, actively verified by sports officials over time in order to make sure that, like, you know, the people who are competing in women's sports are actually women. And it's this weird thing where, like, it's all based on this, like, fear of, like, well, what would happen if somebody who wasn't actually a woman competed in women's sports, but, like, that isn't, like, a thing that, like, happens? Like, there's, like, no documented cases of, like, here's some man that, you know, tried to pretend to be a woman to play women's sports. Like, I don't know, maybe it has happened, like, ever in some place, but, like, it's not like there was ever this, like, problem with it. Is all, like, you know, people decided that this was a problem, could be a problem, before they ever, like, encountered it. And yet there's, like, all this stuff that has happened over time, like, that they have done to, like, you know, first in the, you know, they it, at one point there was, like, you know, it would just be like, oh, you, we are suspicious of you, we're gonna send you to a doctor and they're gonna check you out. And then, or, like, in some cases it would just be like they would just decide, like, this woman seems too manly, we're just not going to let her compete. And then at some point they're like, okay, we have to be more, like, systematic about this. So they had this, like, thing called, like, a nude parade in the late 60s.
What?
Yeah, yeah. Where they just, like, had to, yeah, undress and get inspected and stuff. And then they would get, like, a card That would be like a certificate of femininity.
Oh my god, that's so gross.
It is super gross. And then they later they changed it to genetic testing because everybody was like, this nude parade thing is terrible, which
yes,
it was. And so a lot of people were like okay with changing it to genetic testing because so much is better than the nude parade. But the problem with the genetic testing is it's all based on like a very simple test to see if you have a Y chromosome, right? Yeah. So it's like, it's like, okay, women have two X chromosomes and men have an X and a Y. And it's like, well, yeah, usually, but not always. Yeah. And then so there's this whole thing about, well, the test, the correspondence between the test and whether somebody, for all intents and purposes, either from a biological perspective or from how they identify or how they were raised or whatever, as a woman, and would want to compete as a woman, those don't perfectly match up. And so you had people who were basically thrown out who was like, there's not even anything. They just failed this genetic test, but it doesn't necessarily mean anything, right? It's they don't have any of the, even the expressed characteristics, but it's like, well, we failed the genetic test and that's our rule. So out you go. So they're all just like, a whole 30-ish years that this was going on, and then, or maybe it was 40. And then they, I think it was 30. There was 30-ish years where this genetic testing was going on, and then they finally got rid of it going into the Sydney Games in 2000. And there was a stretch of 9 years where there was no gender verification testing. And then they reintroduced it.
Yeah.
And this is about where I've gotten to in the podcast. I don't know as much about what they have done since then. But it's apparently it's one of the things they test for now is testosterone levels. And I just the idea that you have too much testosterone. So it's not fair for you to compete. It melts my brain, the idea that that matters, but it doesn't matter if you're you're just taller or you're stronger or you have better eyesight or you have better hand eye coordination or all the other things that somebody is a better athlete because they have physical characteristics that make them a better athlete. Why is testosterone different from that? What is going on?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's totally, totally baffling. And I did not even know. I have wondered in the past, whether there was any enforcement of this, but I'd never, really looked into it, so I didn't know. And now that I know, I'm like, this is so ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
This is awful.
And for those of you who follow the Olympics, obviously, right now, there is a case where, in boxing, an athlete is very... there's, a lot of scandal around her because... the International Boxing Association or whatever, they still do the gene testing. And so they have excluded from their competitions, they have excluded this athlete and another athlete. But surprisingly, the IOC is apparently a little bit more liberal, so they are allowed to compete for the Olympics. But yeah, there's a lot of scandal. And as you can imagine, a lot of people are kind of jumping on the bandwagon and trying to portray this as some sort of trans thing. And it's pretty grotesque and gross. And I don't know. I always feel like it's such a shame for these athletes when this is your,
yeah,
this is your life, this is your passion. And then because of politics, that just gets taken away from you.
Yeah. And so I don't even know that the IOC is necessarily more liberal. I mean, maybe they are, but what I've from this podcast, the impression I have is it's more that they just have a different set of tests now. And maybe this athlete passed the one set of tests, but didn't pass the other or something like that. I mean, I don't know. It could be that they are in some sense more liberal, but certainly, I mean, in the podcast, they talked about how for running the international, the non-Olympic body, which is now called World Athletics, but used to be the international, it's IAAF or something. I don't know, whatever. They were the ones who changed, moved away from the genetic testing first. And the IOC was kept using it for several years before they also moved away. So I have the impression that the IOC was behind, if anything. And and the IOC in particular has a history of going back to the inception of the modern Olympics,
yeah,
and early 20th century, has a history of being a pretty regressive yes. organization.
Yeah, yeah. Not only in terms of gender, but also very much in terms of race and, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but yeah, they have some interviews on this podcast with athletes who are going through what you're talking about. Like, there's one athlete who, like, is basically like, okay, now I have to start taking basically medication that I, like, don't need.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, it's like, there's nothing medically wrong with me, but I'm going to take this, like, medication anyway to try to, like, change my body chemistry so I can qualify. And then there's another one who is, like, fighting against this, but it's, like, basically, like, destroyed her career to the point yes. where, you know, it's like, this was her, like you say, like, her passion. And you listen to the interview and you can tell, like, how painful it is to her to, like, not be able to compete for basically, like, no reason. And now she's like, what she's like, well, the best I can do is try to make it so that in the future, like, yeah. other people don't have to deal with this.
Yeah.
Which is very admirable but also like
heartbreaking.
Yeah. I'm just trying to imagine, you know, what it would be like if something, like, even, and, you know, I'm sure that she's way more passionate about her career than I am about mine, but if somebody just came along and said, sorry, you failed some, you know, body biology test, you can't do your job anymore, you have to go just get out of here, like, how would I react to that?
You can't play Fire Emblem anymore. That would be the equivalent, wouldn't it? Or, like, Dominion. Sorry.
You can't play games anymore.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how I would react. I can't really fathom that.
Yeah. What is the name of the podcast?
Tested.
All right. Then that concludes this episode. What is my outro? And that's it for this episode. Thank you all for tuning in. You can find me on Discord for feedback. I am @Strumpf. And we'll see you all next time. The game has ended. Bye!
Bow!